of fun.
Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 79 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Courtney Howe.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
We were able to pick up some of the ones that are here doing the drug dealing.
Operation Round Roundup has taken 5 Moorhead residents into custody on trafficking charges.
Ohio Democrats are pushing for Governor John Kasich to declare a public health emergency.
Kentucky State Police are investigating a death in Boyle County.
In sports, Rowan County heads to Mason County tonight to battle the Royals.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Tonight's weather will be mostly clear. Temperatures will be near 58 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Operation Round Roundup has netted 5 more arrests. According to County Chief Deputy Joe Klein, the Sheriff's Department recently took 52-year-old Michael Houston of Moorhead into custody. He's accused of trafficking methamphetamines that he'd received from California. Klein says his department has been investigating Houston's activities for months.
We were successful on being able to put all of it together. Took some time to do that. Drug investigations, especially the higher levels, tend to take more time, but we've got to make sure we put a good case together and obtain as much evidence as possible for prosecution.
The Round Sheriff's Department has also arrested 4 other Moorhead residents. 33-year-old Christina Barker and Gregory Adkins are accused of dealing heroin, while 49-year-old Michael Lewis and 53-year-old Joseph Harris are charged with selling pills. Harris is also accused of growing marijuana. All 5 suspects are being held in the Round County Detention Center.
A Floyd County man has also been arrested for alleged drug trafficking. WYMT reports Paul Hayes, also known as Frank Tackett, was arrested Wednesday evening at Mini Ballpark. Deputies saw what they believed to be a drug transaction. Upon investigation, they found Hayes to be in possession of numerous pills, all of them opiates. He faces multiple charges, including possession and trafficking. Hayes is also charged with endangering the welfare of a minor, as he had a 6-year-old with him at the time.
The autopsy results are in for a Bracken County mother whose body was discovered about 6 months ago. The Ledger Independent reports the remains of Tara Turner were found in a snag creek near the Ohio River by some people fishing. Some people believe Turner's death was the result of a drug overdose. However, the autopsy revealed she had only had alcohol and marijuana in her system. Turner was last seen being dropped off at a Pendleton grocery store and was believed to be riding with a former boyfriend to Augusta, but she never arrived. Anyone with information on the incident is asked to contact Kentucky State Police.
Some Ohio Democrats are calling on Republican Governor John Kasich to declare a public health emergency in the state because of the rising number of drug overdose deaths. State Representative Greta Johnson says overdoses are killing an average of 8 Ohioans per day.
In 2011, he declared an emergency when a few dozen animals from a backyard zoo escaped into the eastern Ohio countryside. He declared an emergency in 2012 when a windstorm knocked out power to much of the state. He declared an emergency in the winter of 2014 when propane gas supplies dwindled. Those pale in comparison to the damage and destruction this emergency is wreaking all over our state.
Johnson spoke during a press conference in Columbus. She says an emergency declaration would enable a unified statewide response to the crisis.
Kentucky's top health officials are encouraging the state's hospitals to prepare for a possible uptick in heroin overdoses over Labor Day weekend. The state health department is asking that hospitals schedule more staff and keep stores of naloxone fully stocked. Department spokeswoman Beth Fisher says the holiday weekend might increase the chances of hospitals and emergency responders to treat more overdoses.
As they generally do, holiday weekends can sometimes mean an increase in ER activity or an increase in people seeking medical services for various reasons as people are out and about.
She adds that the warning is especially relevant this time of year due to the recent rash of overdoses caused by heroin laced with a toxic substance like fentanyl. In cases of overdose by these substances, up to 3 times the amount of naloxone is necessary to counter-react the overdose.
Kentucky State Police are investigating a death in Boyle County. Police were called to a home on Old Houstonsville Road yesterday afternoon where a woman identified as 52-year-old Rhonda Oakley was found. Trooper Robert Purdy says the body was discovered by Oakley's stepson, but the whereabouts of her stepdaughter are unknown.
We were unable to locate her 15-year-old stepdaughter, Jenna Oakley. She has been entered as missing, and finding her currently is of our utmost concern. We want to make sure that she is okay.
Also missing is Oakley's car, a 2015 white Honda Civic with a breast cancer awareness license plate. At this time, there are no suspects in the case. Anyone with information should contact KSP Richmond.
A Kentucky sheriff says a 7-week-old girl hospitalized with critical head trauma has died, and additional charges are expected to be filed in the case. Laurel County Sheriff John Root says the girl was pronounced dead Thursday evening at the University of Kentucky Children's Hospital in Lexington. He said an autopsy would be conducted today and more charges are expected. Detectives have charged both parents, 34-year-old Gary Nicely and 31-year-old Jessica Nicely, on counts of assault and wanton endangerment. The sheriff's statement says the child was taken to a hospital in London on Tuesday and transferred due to the extent of her injuries. The statement says her twin was examined and found to have injuries. The twin remains hospitalized.
An Ashland man involved in a cigarette tax scheme has been sentenced to 2 years in federal prison. The Daily Independent reports David White was sentenced this week after he pled guilty in January to conspiracy to commit mail fraud. White is one of several individuals involved in a multi-million dollar ploy to sell cigarettes without paying taxes. In the end, there were about $23 million in unpaid taxes. White gets credit for around 2 months served on his sentence and will be on probation for 3 years upon his release.
An Eastern Kentucky lawmaker says the number of people leaving the region because of job loss is incredibly sad. Republican State Representative Tim Couch made the comment Thursday at a hearing on retraining programs for unemployed coal miners. Couch's district includes Clay, Laurel, and Leslie counties.
Our people have to work. They either have to work in East Kentucky or they work Richmond, Lexington. They have to go find employment. The migration that's happening in East Kentucky right now is unprecedented. I mean, we're losing people on a weekly basis going to find work.
Couch says about 17,000 coal jobs have been lost in eastern Kentucky.
A regional teleworks hub established in Owsley County about 2 months ago is putting people to work. Teleworks is an initiative of the East Kentucky Concentrated Employment Program and provides workstations with broadband access for about 30 workers. Owen Grice is deputy director of EKCEP.
That hub has been open about 7 weeks. And we're getting close, if the numbers change every day, to about 25 people who've landed jobs already in 7 weeks in Owsley County. Those jobs average about $20,000 a year, so we're talking about almost $500,000 in new wages in a county with a total population of 4,400 and some odd.
The Teleworks Hub is one of five that EKCEP has opened in the region. It's located in Boonville along Old Kentucky 11.
The Moorhead Round County Economic Development Council appears to be poised to finally fill its executive director's job, which has been vacant for 2 years. A source says the council's search committee is negotiating with a finalist for the post. EDC board member Terry Essner has held the executive director's post on an interim basis since Brett Travers' resignation in July of 2014. Essner admits that finding the right kind of candidate at the right price for the job has been difficult.
We were looking for someone that had dealt with incentives quite a bit, and especially someone that had dealt with locating businesses and locating industries and recruiting industries.
Essner's hope is that the EDC's new executive director will start work next month.
Governor Matt Bevin has authorized the removal of the unemployment insurance surcharge that will save businesses nearly $35 million this year. The surcharge was created by the General Assembly in 2012 to repay $55 million in unpaid interest to the federal government connected to loans the state received in 2009. Bevin says the debt would not have been paid if it was not for the work done by Beshear to get the program started in the first place.
all of them in combination, across jurisdictional lines, across state parties, said, let's come up with a solution to make sure that we take care of Kentuckians first. That's exactly how government is supposed to work.
The removal of the surcharge takes effect immediately.
A $13 million project has been proposed in Augusta. MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler has the story.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, the Augusta Regional Sewer Authority were planning to build a new regional plant on their eastern edge. Their plans quickly changed when they found what seemed to be Native American bones at the proposed site. Officials say the secured remains will be reinterred in accordance customs and the wishes of Native American consultants. The new facility will merge sewer treatment work for customers currently in Brooksville and Augusta. These people are paying a $12.79 fee that goes into a designated fund to repay a $600,000 loan by the Kentucky Infrastructure Authority. A basic cost for the plan is estimated to be $13 million, but a detailed plan has not been completed. Reporting from Ward State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
A multi-million dollar grant has been awarded to the University of Kentucky's Sanders Brown Center on Aging to continue its Alzheimer's disease work. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the $8.25 million five-year grant will continue the center's designation as an Alzheimer's disease center. The center is one of only 30 in the country to carry that designation and was among the first 10 designated in 1985. It has been continuously funded since that time. Sanders Brown director Linda Van Eldick says the center specializes in detecting early changes in the brain associated with Alzheimer's and other age-related dementias. University President Eli Capiluto says the center is an outstanding facility at UK, with the National Institutes of Health funding another acknowledgement of its excellence.
The Kentucky Community and Technical College System is promoting its Learn on Demand courses. David Dixon is involved in the initiative at Southeast Kentucky Community and Technical College. He says the classes are all available online. Dixon appeared this week on WYMT's Issues and Answers program.
Learn on Demand has 10 rolling start dates on Mondays throughout the fall and spring semester, with 5 start dates throughout the summer term. This allows people who want to come in later in the semester with a flexible schedule, and it also gives those who may have lost jobs within a semester the opportunity to go back within the semester, or someone that just wants to further their education and maybe they missed application deadlines, financial aid deadlines for the beginning of the semester.
KCT is also promoting EPIC, which stands for Enhancing Programs for IT Certification, through the Learn on Demand courses. There's more information on the programs at learnondemand.kctcs.edu.
The U.S. Grant Bridge is closed due to a maintenance project from the Ohio Department of Transportation. MSPR's Ashley Chapman has details.
Portsmouth-bound traffic out of Greenup County on U.S. 23 and Kentucky 8 will be detoured to the Carl Perkins Memorial Bridge. The Kentucky Department of Highways says travelers going north should avoid the turning lane for the Grant Bridge and continue on to the lane for the Perkins Bridge. Traffic heading southbound should turn onto the Perkins Bridge before reaching the Grant Bridge. No date has been given for the project's end. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Ashley Chapman.
Crews have already begun construction on a project that will end with Lewis County getting a new shooting range. Judge Executive Todd Ruckle says the plan is to pour concrete at site of Kentucky 59 south of Vanceburg this fall, along with getting some shelters built. After it opens next year, Ruckle believes the range will be a popular attraction for shooting enthusiasts.
I do. Our ultimate goal of this project is to provide a shooting range for those that want to take advantage of the facility, that can sharpen their shooting skills, and it also we're hoping to provide a safe and functional outdoor shooting facility.
Local police agencies will also be allowed to use the new range, while a 4-H club is already planning to hold a firearm safety class there. Lewis County recently received a $13,500 grant from the National Rifle Association to help with the project and will apply for another NRA grant next year.
It's the end of an era in Lexington. As Josh James reports, the last remaining video store is set to close up shop in November.
With the rise of popular movie streaming services like Netflix and Hulu, not to mention those ubiquitous red boxes, bricks and mortar video stores now seem like a relic of the not so distant past. So much so that Lexingtonians may be surprised to learn that one store, Premium Home Video in Heartland, is still sending customers out the door with DVD rentals in hand.
We've always said that we want it to be the last store in Lexington, and here we are, we're the last one.
That's manager Jennifer Robbins. This week, the store she's worked for since it opened in 2003 announced on Facebook that it's time to roll the end credits. And while newer movie-watching options come with new conveniences, she says customers using online algorithm-driven services are losing the personal touch, but she understands the appeal.
I know very well how the business goes, and it's just over the years, it's just steadily declined, and the past couple years, it's just been worse, I guess you could say, to where it's become a little bit harder to, you know, get the bills paid.
For cinephiles, after bargains, Premier Home Video plans to start liquidating its inventory on October 3rd. Doors are expected to close sometime in November. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Clear skies, lows will be in the upper 50s. Your Saturday will be sunny, highs will be in the lower 80s. Saturday night will be clear, lows will be in the lower 50s in the valleys and in the upper 50s on the ridges. Your Sunday will be sunny with highs in the mid 80s. Sunday night will be clear, some patchy valley fog late. Lows will be in the mid 50s in the valleys and in the lower 60s on the ridges. For your Labor Day, it'll be sunny, highs in the mid-80s, and your Labor Day evening will be clear, some patchy valley fog, and lows will be around 60 degrees. Taking a look at the temperatures around the region, it is currently 80 degrees in Ashland, 78 degrees in Flemingsburg, 79 degrees in Inez, 81 degrees in Lexington, 79 degrees in Winchester, and it's 79 degrees here in Moorhead.
The time is 4:47, and you're listening to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. We're glad you're with us on this Friday evening. Stay tuned at 5 o'clock for an all-new All Things Considered. On our feature segment this evening, new research confirms what many have long suspected about the role of money in the U.S. political system. Greg Stottlemyre reports.
As public outrage over the influence of money in politics continues to grow, seen in both the Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump campaigns, a new study by the Institute for New Economic Thinking provides compelling evidence that the U.S. political system is more $1 one vote than one person one vote. That doesn't surprise Richard Belisles with Common Cause Kentucky, who supports the movement to overturn the 2010 Supreme Court Citizens United decision, which he says really opened the door to secret money.
It wasn't a very good system before. That made it worse. The increased money reduced the influence of the general public for access to their political leaders and elected leaders.
Researchers created a chart to track spending and votes in U.S. Senate and House races since 1980, illustrating the link between dollars and votes. Thomas Ferguson with the Institute for New Economic Thinking says the research team discovered a stark correlation.
Basically, you get the percentage of votes that you have of the percentage of money. It's an amazingly crass relationship, and it's very direct, and it holds for hundreds of elections.
Ferguson says if money and votes were unrelated, the chart would be scattered. Almost without exception, he says the results produced a straight line. When parties spend little to no money, they get the fewest votes, and spending the most money results in the most votes. He says the research supports findings from a Princeton and Northwestern study that showed the poor and middle class have virtually zero influence on government when policies are opposed by the wealthiest Americans. He cites the preference by a majority of corporations and top earners for lower taxes as one example of what can happen when policies are driven by money.
The rest of us have to live with the consequences of that. Roads that don't work, schools that are collapsing. And the notion that the last dollar rather than the last votes should determine things strikes me as a crazy idea.
Ferguson says public financing of elections and giving candidates free and equal time on publicly owned airwaves would be good first steps to reduce the influence of money in politics. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
MSPR's Braxton Howard has been keeping a check on your sports. He's up in just a few moments.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowland County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Moorhead City Park. The Rowland County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Rowland County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. A pair of 0-2 high school football teams will collide tonight at 7:30 in Maysville as Round County does battle with Mason County. Round coach Gene Peterson says the Vikings defense will have to play it smart in trying to stop the Royals fast and athletic ball carriers.
One thing about football is it's all about angles, and as long as if you're running in a circle, that doesn't look good. So it's all about great angles and taking a great angle to the football.
Round edged Mason 22-21 a year ago in Moorhead. Around the area in prep football this evening, Morgan County will try to move to 2-0 as the Cougars host Allen Central. Morgan coach Brian Turner says the Rebels will be big and physical, adding that they impressed him in last year's matchup.
We jumped out ahead 28-6 at half and only managed to win that ball game 34-6. And that showed me their kids weren't going to quit. They were going to continue to play hard and fight through adversity. So, I think this is a step up in competition, and I expect it to be a hard-fought contest and a good football game.
On another front, Coach Bill Spencer's 2-0 Fleming County Panthers will visit 1-1 Greenup County.
We got an extremely fast defense, very, very physical offense. I think they're still trying to find their rhythm a little bit with the new coach, but they've got playmakers. I think it's a very, very good ball team. I think we're going to have our hands full with them.
Some other games, Ashland Blazer visits George Washington, West Virginia. Lawrence is at Fairview. Russell hosts Irington. And tomorrow, East Carter is at Raceland. The Moorhead State football team kicks off the 2016 schedule tomorrow with a visit to James Madison. The Dukes are the nation's 12th-ranked FCS team, but MSU coach Rob Tenier says his Eagles are confident and ready for the challenge.
I feel pretty good about our scheme and trying to defend them and then move the football too. So just got to go out and execute. That's the key in these games. If you want to stay in these games versus these big-time school scholarship institutions, then you got to perform well and you got to be productive when you play.
Tomorrow's game starts at 6 o'clock at Bridgeforth Stadium in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Kentucky starts with Southern Mississippi tomorrow evening at Commonwealth Stadium. Coach Mark Stoops understands that UK fans will have high expectations for the Wildcats in their opener and for the 2016 season as a whole.
As you go through the offseason, as you go through this summer campaign, and you hear so much talking and so much going on, and everybody's excited and wants to see what we're all about, you can't deny that. I think it's important that we come out and play well, but every game's individually based, as win or lose, we got to put this game to bed and move on. It's a long season.
Tomorrow night's game kicks off at 7:30. After having yesterday off, the Reds are at home to start a three-game series with the St. Louis Cardinals. The struggling Reds have lost 8 of their last 10 games, including 4 straight. Manager Brian Price says one bright spot, though, has been the development of starting pitcher Brandon Finnegan.
To see a kid now who's evolved into a three-pitch pitcher with command that's pitching to both sides of the plate, that's kind of found a devastating changeup, the ability to throw a slider for a quality strike when he's behind on the count and locate his fastball, you could see that there's not so many empty pitches, the pitches that jack up a pitch count. But his development has been exceptional and really a highlight of the season.
The Reds will send 8-2 Anthony DeSclafani to the mound tonight. The Cardinals will counter with 1-0 Alex Reyes. First pitch is set for 7:10. Just one afternoon baseball game of note, the Cubs currently lead the Giants 2-1 in the 8th inning. The Lexington Legends are at Hickory tonight for Game 1 of their final series of the season. 1-4 Julio Pinto will take the mound for the Legends. First pitch in that one is at 7 o'clock. The Moorhead State soccer team plays Evansville in its home opener tonight at 6 o'clock at Jane Stadium. The 1-2 Eagles have scored just 2 goals this season and have been shut out twice. With that in mind, Coach Warren Lipka says he has one primary mission for his squad against the Purple Aces.
Score some goals. You can't win games unless you score goals. So we've got to focus on that, and we can't just not forget about our defending responsibilities. It's a it's a project that we need to work on, and as a staff, you know, that's where we're going with.
Evansville will check into Jane Stadium with a 1-3 record. And finally in sports, the Morehead State volleyball team is in Charleston, West Virginia, participating in the West Virginia Capital Classic. Earlier in the day, the Eagles fell to Marshall 3-1. In just a few minutes at 5 o'clock, they will do battle with Indiana State in their second match of the day. Head coach Jamie Gordon says the Eagles' defense will be the key to victory.
We're going to have to be a little bit better on our serve game and really try and force to get them out of system. You know, if we allow them to run their offense unchallenged, it's going to be very difficult for us to score.
MSU will face West Virginia tomorrow at 11 o'clock a.m. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Morehead State soccer and volleyball season tickets are now available. Soccer hosts Evansville tonight at 6 p.m., and volleyball welcomes Wright State on Tuesday, September 6th. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher, with the three major indices also posting weekly gains of about 0.5%, this following a disappointing employment report. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 72.66 at 18,491.96. The S&P 500 was up 9.12 at 2179.98, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 22.69 at 5249.9. New York Stock Exchange breadth was about 4-1 positive, so the broader market actually stronger than the Dow would indicate. The U.S. economy did add 151,000 jobs in August, with the unemployment rate coming in at 4.9%. Economists polled by Reuters had forecast 180,000 jobs would be added, while the unemployment rate would remain at 4.8%. So today's jobs report certainly puts a Fed rate hike in question when they do meet later this month. Other data released included July factory orders, which rose 1.9%, slightly below expectations. In Federal Reserve speech, or I should say among Federal Reserve speeches today, the Richmond Fed President, Jeffrey Lacker, said that the U.S. economy does look strong enough to merit higher rates, although Lacker is not a voting member until 2018. In oil markets, U.S. crude oil was up almost 3% at $44.44 a barrel amid Russian comments favoring a production freeze. And overseas European equities rose broadly, with the Stock 600 index advancing nearly 2%. In Asia, stocks closed mostly flat, with the Shanghai Composite gaining about 0.1%, and the Nikkei 225 falling just 0.01%. And gold futures for December delivery were $9.60 higher at $1,326.70 an ounce. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Apple. Your worst performers were Nike and Walmart. In the S&P 500, the best performers were VeriSign and Chesapeake Energy, and the worst performers were Carnival and Mylan. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Kroger up 53 cents at $32.49, Ashland Incorporated up 74 cents at $118.36, CSX down 4 cents at $28.14, Marathon Petroleum up 40 cents at $42.31, AEP up 82 cents at $65.24, and AK Steel is down 6 cents to finish at $4.34. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Taking one last look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, clear skies. Lows will be in the upper 50s. Your Saturday will be sunny with highs in the lower 80s. Saturday night will be clear. Lows will be in the lower 50s in the valleys and in the upper 50s on the ridges. Taking a look at temperatures around the region. It's 80 degrees in Ashland, 81 degrees in Lexington, 78 degrees in Flemingsburg, and it's 79 degrees in Inez, Winchester, and here in Morehead.
And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Tanner Boyd, Dan Conti, Samantha Morrill, Braxton Howard, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, and Kyle Blankenbuehler, Josh James from WUKY, and on our feature segment, Greg Stottlemyre from the Kentucky News Connection. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Courtney Howell for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.